Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway today to get access to our Discord, BSBAOT episodes, and much more. On today's show, we have our guest, special guest host, Dan, joining me once again this week in Greg's absence. And then also our friend Fitz joins us in the post game. The way we do this episode is we recorded before the Florida game, the first half, and then with Fitz in the post game after Florida and after Igor almost scored a goal then. So without further ado, it's a fun episode. Let's get to Mark Messier. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Breakaway fans, welcome to another week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, and I'm here with my co-host, Daniel, yet again, with no Greg. It's like I'm Gerard Gallant, and I'm starting Ben Harper for no reason. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Glad to be back. Temporary co-host. We'll make that distinction.
Yeah. You're Ben Harper. You're temporary left-hand defenseman. Yeah. Third. That's it. Does it hurt you to be called Ben Harper? I'm sorry.
I mean, it's only like, basically, we know something better is coming along the way, so we're going to get rid of me eventually, which is not entirely false, but it hurts a little to hear.
It's just that the honesty, it hurts. Oh, speaking of honesty that hurts, the Bruins are better than the Rangers.
The Bruins are better than everyone. The only...
Allmark was the first goalie to get to 25 wins the fastest in history today?
The big takeaway from the game against the Bruins isn't, oh, the Bruins are better than the Rangers. We knew that. The big takeaway is, for the love of God, don't get the second wild card, because you do not want to be sent to play the Bruins in the first round, and then even if you pulled off a miracle upset, you know, playing the Leafs or the Lightning in the second round.
It's funny because I thought the Rangers didn't play, albeit truly terrible, against the Bruins. Like, I didn't think it was awful. I mean, Ben Harper scores with like 3 minutes remaining or whatever. Congratulations to him. But I thought they stayed in the game. They had plenty of chances to score, but the power play was, yet again, anemic, not really clicking on all cylinders. I think it's 1-for-22.
I think 1-for-26.
Oh, I forgot those other times that I blanked out of my mind. So my apologies. Thank you so much. And it just seems like Gerard Gallant goes back to the well. I will note for all those listeners right now, we are recording before the Florida Panthers game. The second half of this podcast will be with our dear friend Fitz, and we will talk post-game reaction for the Florida Panthers, where the Rangers are playing a third-string goalie who will absolutely goalie them. So very fun there. But the power play right now, and I talked about this a little bit on BSBOT last week with our good friend Matthew. That's a little plug in case everybody was wondering. I don't understand why you won't try anything else. Like, why not just give Kako or Hedl or both a try on the top power play? Because, and I know the power play is good, I get that, but the chemistry just isn't working right now. Just try something else and you can go back to it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and to me, there's two ways to try something else. One, the obvious one is changing personnel, as we've discussed, you know, getting Trocheck off the bumper, probably putting Hedl in there. The other one is doing something different on the ice with the same group. And you've seen that to some extent, right? We're seeing more Mika and Panarin flip-flop. Their strategy has changed because teams caught on that Mika Zibanejad was scoring a lot of goals from the Ovechkin office, and they started not only marking him up, but they started shifting their entire defense that way. And the Rangers have what they thought was adapted to it, but it really wasn't an adaptation as much as it was just abandoning their plan and trying something else, which I think you still have to keep Mika in that spot. I don't think anyone else comes close to his shot there. I think you just have to do a better job of creating some space for him to shoot. And then the other thing is, like you said, let's separate the power play one, mix it up with the power play two, give them each a full minute and see which group really clicks.
And it's not only that, and you and I, when we hung out, I think I might have said this last week too, like the Trocheck thing, he's a really good player and he's fun to watch. And I saw this quote, I think it was from a Friedman posted or something like that, but maybe it wasn't Friedman, but nonetheless, it was when the Trocheck signing happened, an executive tweeted somebody or texted somebody and said, and we'll talk about that group chat in a few minutes. Or actually, we'll leave it for minutes because it's unbelievable. It's fucking crazy.
The email chain. Great email chain.
Yes.
Yeah.
forward. Trocheck is a great player, but he's a bad fit for the New York Rangers. And I think that's kind of what I've been meaning to say for quite a while now. And I just don't think whatever it was that Ryan Strome had cooking on that first power play with Panarin and such just isn't there. It's not the same thing. And Trocheck's dangerous. I'm not discrediting him, but I did say to you in person, I do think next year's Trouba is Trocheck in terms of like scapegoats or why we'll lose players or something like that. But Vincent Trocheck has been quite good. He just can't figure out a way to actually put pucks in the back of the net. He's just playing a different style, and he hasn't found a way to adapt his game to what the Rangers do well. And that's kind of not on him. It's just not that he's a fit. He's a good player, but in the system the Rangers run, which whatever you want to talk about, what is the system the Rangers run? I mean, that's another whole other concept and conversation I want to have like 40-minute conversation with you about in the future, whether on this podcast or not. Like, what is the Rangers' identity? But Trocheck just like doesn't fit that just yet. It hasn't worked with Panarin. It's one of the reasons they're switching up, or Gallant has switched up the lines for tonight's game versus the Florida Panthers. Boyz II Men has returned. There's Vesey is playing the left wing. Kreider's on the right wing. Dogs and cats hanging out together. I'm not really sure. Yeah, mass hysteria, my friend. So moving from that, it's just I'm unsure as to like why you wouldn't just try like, hey, maybe we have a left-handed shot on this power play to give us another option. Just to give it a shot. It's no offense to Trocheck. Not trying to reduce his value. Doesn't matter what his value is in anyway because he's signed for so long. No movement contract clause comes in next year, I think. Or it's reduced next year or something like that. Not that I think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's getting traded. He's playing up to his value, but it just hasn't fit correctly. And because I said all this, he'll score tonight, so that's sweet.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. Like you said, Trocheck's, if the quote was great player, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. He's a good player, and I think he can be a great third-line center for certain teams. I don't think the Rangers are that team just because of the way they're trying to build their top three lines. Part of me thought that could he be kind of like Kopp in the sense that wouldn't he play that right wing role with Panarin and Strome very well, in the sense that those guys loved when Colin Blackwell and Jesper Foss were there. So you're adding someone that in that mold that will grind it in the corner, but also win draws and, you know, play a little solid defense that has a little more offensive upside. Like,
yeah, there's a fucking problem with this theory, Dan. But he's a goddamn center. That's why you signed him.
But yeah, but you know, square peg, round hole. It's you know, he's not someone you acquired at the deadline to supplement. He's someone you signed basically all your cap room in the offseason to be a foundational piece in this lineup. And
cap room you did not have. That's what's the most
you
surprising
had it for
part
one
is.
Year, and you decided to give it for seven. That's the real problem.
That's the real issue. It's like, hey, we don't have any important contracts coming up, do we? Oh, what? Hold on. What? What's happening with Keandre Miller?
And the thing is, you know, people said, well, they signed up for 7 years to get the cap hit down to a good number. I don't know if you checked Shayna's charts today.
Shayna and Dom, yes. He's playing exactly to that number.
He's playing below it in year one. This contract is going to age horribly unless he turns something around. And look, we hope he does. But I think it goes back to what you said at the beginning. It doesn't seem like a fit right now. And maybe that's on Gallant for not trying enough things. Maybe it's a little on him for not adapting his style to play with Panarin. Maybe it's you know, partially that Panarin's not quite the same player that he was when he was playing with Strome. There's a lot of factors, but the end result is we're not getting the product on the ice that we hope to.
Yeah, and this isn't me saying, like, I dislike Trocheck as a player. I think he just, and I'm sure Fitz is going to say this later, like, he's playing like a Hurricane, not like a Ranger. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's kind of where it is. I had a great point I was going to make. Oh, yes, you said he's a great third-line center on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ryan Strome. You just described Ryan Strome. And listen, I know Ryan Strome has not a lot of fans out there for the amount of nets he missed. He did play through like a ridiculously hard injury in the playoffs that he should not have played through. It's one of the reasons I believe Artemi Panarin had such a bad playoffs, because he couldn't skate. But it almost would be better if Ryan Strome wasn't even at the net to miss that goal versus the Lightning. Like, oh, it would have been better for him, period.
Yeah, nightmare fuel. The one thing I will say about Trocheck is that I think he's second in the entire league in lowest goals.
This is correct.
Below expected, right? So you based on, you know, his play, you would have expected him to score a significantly higher amount
of goals.
He's
supposed to have, like, I think he's supposed to have nine more goals.
And that, you know, he hits the post enough where that could probably explain half of it away, if not more. But, you know, you hope over the course of a season that balances out. A player like that shouldn't be that low. First of all, and no one should be that low just statistically. But you just got to hope that balances out and, you know, the results kind of meet the input.
Let's talk quickly about Shayna and Dom's models. Well, we should have Shayna on soon. I probably will do that to talk about these. But they have the adjusted numbers. If you don't know what these are, you can go to The Athletic. I used to know those guys. Seems like a good friend. It's an ex I don't text you up. And they do a great job making these player cards of what players' values are. Now, they used to say what their expected value was. So I think Adam Fox at one point was listed as $17 million. We talked about it on the show. Something absolutely ridiculous. And as of today, Dan, I don't know if you noticed this, the high players are maximum cap slot or whatever
league
it is.
League max.
Dan, tell me that it wasn't that Shayna or Dom got a message from the NHL or from GMs and said, hey, could you change that? Because this is fucking us.
So here's the thing. I think there's and I'm not positive on this, but I'm
this is conspiracy theory shit, so just put your hat on.
I think there's something in the collective bargaining agreement that that defines what the max a player can get. He can only get X percent of the cap. I don't know if it's 20.
Correct.
So if you're saying anything more than that, what you're fueling is for Connor McDavid's agent to be like, hey, this clause in the CBA is BS. Because my client should be getting, you know, 30% of the cap based on this.
Okay,
model.
Dan, but his agent is right.
Yeah.
that's the problem, and that's why I think there was something sent over to either The Athletic or Dom or Shayna that said, hey, could you change this? Because it's making us look really bad.
I don't know, because, you know, for every Connor McDavid agent, you have...
There's a Jacob Trouba?
No, you have, like, seven agents of lower... paid players that are just like, no, we need that money. You can't put that all in like the same, you know, 15 guys' pockets. That has to be dispersed among, you know, 22 guys per roster. So I, you know, when you collectively bargain something, you're looking for all your members. And I think it's going to be hard for any type of vote where, you know, the Connor McDavid's and the Sidney Crosby's of the world are like, no, guys, shouldn't we pay? You know, shouldn't we make it so like the top players can get even more while we lower the league minimum salary? Most people aren't going to go for that.
That's totally fair. And for the upside for other Ranger fans out there that want to hear the good news is that Keandre Miller is projected at $1.3 million, which is a lie. And I can't imagine he would ever accept anything other than much more money.
Wait, Ryan, he's not projected to get 1.3.
Sorry, his current value is 1.3. Yes. Thank you.
Which
my
is
apologies.
Also wrong.
Which is also wrong, because and I'll do it. I can't believe I'm doing it. On January 23rd, Jacob Trouba's value is league minimum, and I just don't see that. I know how bad Jacob Trouba's been. I get that. League minimum is ridiculous.
Yeah, the funny thing is when if you look at all the numbers, his value is league minimum because that's the lowest you're allowed to give. But if you look at the – it has another column with surplus, and it'll have either a positive or negative number.
Minus 7.5,
and yes. His surplus means that he should be only paid $500,000, which is below the league minimum, which is not as funny as Sammy Blais' surplus, which implies the Rangers, by having him on the roster – should get to spend an additional $600,000 above the salary cap. That's how bad he is.
Dan, it's like you've been doing this for years because you were just transitioning me right into where I want to be next, which is Sammy Blais still on the team, despite multiple reports from many NHL insiders, such as Mickey Aide on Twitter. And that's a deep cut joke for just me and six other people. But Vince did say it on his New Ice City podcast, available every Thursday, a podcast near you, that he believed Sammy Blais would be put on waivers. Surprise, Johnny Brodzinski was put on waivers, cleared, and so did Dryden Hunt today, by the way, as well, going down to the AHL and scoring a goal there. The Rangers were desperate to get back to 22 men. They wanted to have $7 million at the trade deadline. They have that. Why is Sammy Blais and Libor Hájek still on this team, Dan? You tell me.
You know, it's going to frustrate a lot of fans that you're going to see Dryden Hunt back out there, who is clearly the superior option to Sammy Blais. And you're like, look, why don't we pick him up, send Sammy Blais packing?
Dryden Hunt, I know he's been cut by two teams now. Mm-hmm. I get that, the Avalanche and the Leafs. But it's kind of like when VC left for other teams and didn't work out and he came back and he became a better player. Hunt's a fine fourth liner for this team. Hey, perfectly fine. Right now, let's do it. Fun game. You ready? Sammy Blais or Dryden Hunt?
Hunt.
Okay. Lecision or Dryden
Hunt?
Going
Hunt again.
Me too. Brodzinski or Hunt?
I think I'm still going Hunt, although I kind of like what I've seen from Brodzinski.
Okay. I think that's fair. But that's three players, and I think that's as far as we can get. There's no one else, right? Where he should be on the team. Like, he's worth a claim. It's very strange.
Yeah, and I think management has shown the Ryan Carpenter experiment is over. They're not really giving Rydal a chance unless they have last minute injuries and there's already a couple guys out. So
he's like the fourth guy on the list.
I think
dude.
You're writing them off, I'm sure Rydal is not happy that he came over here to play in Hartford, Connecticut for
less money.
Yeah, it's tough for him, but I don't know. Should your last fourth line spot dictate whether you're going to go on a cup run? No, but it's enough fodder where it's just confusing when you see the way Gallant uses his fourth line, the way he rotates guys in and out, and we see that Sammy Blais is not the answer. And I don't know if there's some kind of sunk cost fallacy going on with, like, well, we traded Pavel Buchnevich and we got Sammy Blais, so we got to ride that out. But, know when to hold him, know when to fold him, and I think it's time to fold Sammy Blais.
Like, at least we have fun with Libor Hájek. Like, at least it's been a fun time. The content's been enjoyable. He's got a cool nickname. He provides me with good gifts. Like, he's high events. That's cool about Libor Hájek. When he goes out there, it's either he takes a slap shot and we all kind of like, oh, that was cool, right? Hey, Libor Hájek took a slap shot. Or it's a disaster and we get to watch something like miraculous where the Rangers get scored on because Hájek just totally skates to the corner with a man he's not supposed to cover. Something like that. With Sammy Blais, we just don't get that. He murdered Julien Gauthier and stayed on the team. I can't name another thing he's done this year. Harper has more goals than him.
It's and by the Athletic's model, he's objectively not only the worst player on the Rangers, he's worse than having no one. Like, that's what their model says.
we'll get more to this later. I want to talk about the Booch trade again somehow with Fitz, but like, if you're still bringing it up, like, what are you doing? It's not like we get it.
I'm only bringing it up because is that what management is thinking? Because there has to be some reason we're not seeing.
They hold on, dude. They really hold.
Best practice player we've that's ever existed, and we just don't see it. I don't know.
If Hájek wasn't traded for McDonough, do you think he'd be on this team? God. Legitimately.
This is this podcast episode is giving me PTSD. So McDonough and
Goodrow game three misses wide. It's terrible.
And I mean, Goody's another one whose contract I hated the second it was signed. But of course,
We were so thrilled when they like went and got him. I was like, great, it's gonna be like a really awesome like 3-year deal. He'll be at like $2 million. Like, what?
I'm gonna push back on that a little bit. What? We traded like a 7th rounder for his rights. And I think the second I saw that, I said to you, I'm like, this is a mistake. You're like, what do you mean it's a 7th rounder? I'm like, but we wouldn't trade for him unless we knew we had a contract to basically agree to. And he wouldn't agree to the contract unless it was real good and when he's about to go to free agency in 2 weeks. And sure enough, when it came out, it was a oof. Again, a great guy to have on your team if he's on your fourth line. But like, that's what you're paying a fourth liner?
Yeah, and he's still a fourth liner, but there are plenty of times where he moves up. And like Gallant would tell you the utility, and he's produced better than I thought he would. Credit to Goodrow. It doesn't mean the contract's good. All right. We can wait on 5 stars for just a couple minutes here. But so Brzezinski's down. They're at 22. Trade deadline's coming. I've heard rumors. There was a rumor. The Rangers are interested in a player from Arizona. I heard that from two different people. We'll see. I don't want to name any names just yet, but it's not good.
It's not the one you hope. It's not the two you hope, actually.
It's not. It is not. He might have played on the Leafs in the past. And it just feels like Drury is waiting to make his move this year. Because next year, Dan, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the reason he's loading up for a big trade deadline is because he can't do shit next year. There's no option to go trade for almost any player. Like, what do you think the Rangers are going to have at salary cap deadline in next March? Like, a million?
Yeah, and
maybe?
The thing is, I have to give Drury a lot of credit for the moves
he's been
he made
so good since the
last
boost trade.
Year, the deadline trades of Vetrano, Kopp, Brunn, I individually and even collectively, I think I said to you at the time, I'm like, like, they don't move the needle for me. I guess we're not really going for it this year. But those players fit the roster as constructed so perfectly. You know, Vetrano being that shoot first guy, Kopp, you know, versatile playing right wing and center, and then Braun, you know, that last pair became solid, you know, and it was just kind of what the doctor ordered. And this year, you're looking at it like you said, and you're like, well, if you're going to load up, this is the year to do it because, as you've noted in other episodes, Panarin's, you know, not a bad player by any means. But it seems like he's not at his peak anymore, and you're going to be saddled with contracts, and you're going to have to pay Keandre Miller, and you're going to have Lafreniere, and again, I'll refer to the Athletics model. They're all plus players right now, but they're all plus players because they're on their entry level contracts, and or in like Hedl and Kako's cases, these bridge deals, and the next contract they get, it's going to be a lot closer to even value to as far as you know the surplus goes. And so you're not, like you said, you're not going to have room to wiggle around in future deadlines. So are you just getting rid of both your first round picks? Are you, you know, throwing an extra like any prospect that's not Hoffman and just going for it this year, even though it doesn't seem like you're nearly on Boston's level?
You're not on Boston's level. But one thing I will always say, the President's Trophy curse is real. Doesn't matter. Like, they are, I know how good they are, but they're good right now. Can they be good in the playoffs? Because I'll admit, you want to extend the PTSD? I got you. The Kings were an 8 mm-hmm. seed. The Blues were an 8 seed. There are a lot of teams that are, well, look at the Capitals. Every single year they were the President's Trophy winners, and it did not matter for a while. So no matter what the Bruins do, and until we're proven wrong, the playoffs are a totally different game in all aspects.
You don't look at the playoffs and identify one team and say, we're not as good as them. Let's not go for it. You know, I think even as constructed right now, am I, you know, writing us off in any 7-game series against a Metro team? No. You know, well, tough to beat Carolina again? Yeah, of course it always is. Are the Devils, you know, playing really well and, you know, they scare you with a lot of their young guys and actually competent goaltending this year, of course, but that doesn't mean you're not going for it. I'm not scared by those teams. And like I said, at the beginning of the episode, as long as you're not getting that second wild card, you know, the idea of facing Boston would be an Eastern Conference final. And in that case, you know, any deadline moves you make are already pretty much worth it if you get that far. So, you know, I think, like you said, you kind of got to cash in your chips because you're not going to be able to do it next year.
This is the last year you can cash in, and we'll talk more about what you can cash in for in the next coming weeks, because shockingly, we still have 2 months to the trade deadline. Feels like it should be a lie, but it's not. Couple five-star questions this week. If you want to leave a five-star question on the show, you can go to Patreon, subscribe, support the show, buy us a coffee, and from there, you can leave them on our Discord. This one person named Jplay left a five-part question that I will be answering as one of the VSBOT questions this week. So sorry, Jplay, but you'll get it later. This is from Blue Gooner. Did the Bruins game say more about the Bruins or the Rangers? Could it be different had the Rangers actually scored on their chances, which they did have, by the way? But Boston looks in sync at a different level. Every Rangers possession was like a syphilis carrying... Syphilis? This is a Greek myth. Oh my God, that's bad. I was like, syphilis. What is this? Carrying the boulder. To answer your question, I think we kind of talked about this. The Bruins are way... It said way more about the Bruins than the Rangers for me.
Absolutely. 100%. You knew the Bruins were good coming into this game. Nothing that happened changed that. Would us putting away our chances have changed it? Of course. If you put in every high danger chance you have, the scoreboard is going to look a lot different. Would that have changed the way the rest of the course of the gameplay? I don't think so. I don't think the Bruins are a team that's going to give up an early goal and then get rocked or anything. So it's just a matter of, getting lucky or finishing off and potting those goals, and that's the only way you're going to keep up with them. Because, as you said, the Rangers didn't play horrifically, but when you're playing Boston, you're going to have to play at the top of your game.
Yes. Actually, only one more question this week, and I think it's worth maybe expanding on just a bit, but this is from Adam Furlong. Any comments, stories, tidbits, or opinions you guys want to share about the Vox Media, SB Nation, or Blue Shirts banter? Yeah, I can share some stuff. I used to hate Joe Fortunato, like, a lot. And now Joe is a really good friend of mine, who I consider dear to me. And Tom Ertz, who writes for multiple, or did write for multiple, SB Nation things, is great people as well. I think, in general, I don't understand, like, the tweet that pretty much said, hey, you got to hand it to the Vox CEO. He's great at firing people. Like, okay. don't really have to hand it to him. Like, that he properly communicated that you'd be out of your livelihood. Not going to do that. Part of me is this. Part of me is the business person in me, right? Which is, hockey doesn't do the same coverage as everything else. They see it as, they're like, cool, this is an added bonus for us. We're going to try and move on. But this doesn't mean cuts in any industry are hard, no matter what. And usually you're losing something substantial, and I think they are here. But they cut everything, including banter. And I know banter was one of the, if not the most, visited SB Nation site. And banter is going to try and stay up, depending if they go behind a paywall or something like that. So that's still kind of in the works. But go vote on their poll if you get a chance. Banter was one of the original like big Rangers blogs. So it's kind of like tough to see it go. I know that the Times kind of passed it by at some points where it's had all new writers and people that used to write there, like Shayna, now work at The Athletic and other places as well. And Joe is still managing editor there, but I don't want to say he's taking a back seat, because he hasn't, but he's not involved the way he used to be. So it is, I wish the best for Blue Shirts banter and all the SB Nation stuff. There's no good hockey coverage. Like, it's kind of one of the part of the reasons we do this show. Unless you want like state media, which is Elliot Friedman and some other stuff, you go to the independent shows like Wheeled Wing, Us, and some others where you can just find like people that are like having fun talking about hockey. And outside of that, man, like you and I fiend for hockey coverage sometimes. Like, where do you go?
Yeah, and it's hard. Let me tag on, because Joe doesn't even know who I am. I'm not sure if we've ever met. I don't think we have. But I remember coming back from school, I was out of market for a while, and then I came back, and I was really starting to get into the Rangers again. And I would, their site was bookmarked. It was almost every day I was visiting it, not even just pregame and postgame stuff, but just, do they have an article about whatever happened that day? And I think it's a testament that some of their writers have gone on to, look at Shayna, who's now with The Athletic, and Tom Ertz, who I have met, who I have enjoyed his stuff before I knew who he was. Joe seems to have a good...
Mike Murphy, who wrote, did for the Ice Garden, which also got cut.
And so, hat tip to those guys, or Stick Tap. I hope they find a way to keep going. You know, they, like you said, might be a paywall, might be a Patreon, which, speaking of which, if you're not on the Blue Shirt Breakaway Patreon, guys, what are you doing?
Oh, I mean, great call. I mean, before you do banter, you got to come here. Just saying.
The Discord and especially the BSB OT episodes are worth it.
Thank you.
But yeah, like, you know, you and I have talked about other places where we get our coverage, and it's starting to dry up to the point where you're looking at independent stuff like Blue Shirt Breakaway, or you're looking at The Athletic, and little in between. Yeah, there's some stuff on ESPN or TSN in Canada.
Yeah, but if you're like following, like if you're following the Rangers and you don't want, like, the best people to follow for that, obviously, the Beats. So it's like Molly, Vince. Yep. Yeah, Larry is, I have to click.
Okay.
Like I can't help myself. And Colin, of course, will tell you about the celebrities and guests on this show.
You know, it's, but you get a different type of coverage from beat writers. It's in some ways, it's much better. They have access. They're getting stories that you and I could never get on our own. But in other ways,
but they also can't do the weird controversial, conspiracy hat
Vince
bullshit that
once,
we do.
Sat down and said, which Pokemon is each Ranger?
I'm gonna confirm that Vince has
that. You know, Vince isn't gonna sit there and he has to face those players in the locker room every day and say, like, yeah, why the hell is this guy still here? And so, you know,
why are you Bulbasaur?
there is that, you know, kind of, you know, being able to have that refreshing take of not everything's good, and it's not just, you know, a little bit of struggle that you hear you and often Greg go on rants about. So I like having both types of coverage. And
it just is like slims down. I think there's more Ranger podcasts than ever. You just like, you can go find them, but there's less actual Rangers coverage than ever, if that makes sense. I had, I won't reveal who this person was, but you'd be shocked if I told you. I had a person tell me on a phone call once. He's like, you don't understand. Like, the Rangers used to have so much coverage. There would be like 14 to 15 people covering them on a beat and flying around and doing certain things. And then it's down to like four, and they only let those four in. So there's only like four beats. There's nobody that wants to pay for hockey coverage other than The Athletic / The New York Times. And like, I don't know how long that lasts either. So it's your independent people on YouTube. I can't even name a Ranger YouTuber. I have no idea. I've been asked to do it a couple times, and I just got too much crap going on. And outside of that, man, I feel bad for all these people, because it's good to have coverage of the game. And they just, like, we just don't have that in America the same way they do in Canada. And even then, in Canada, it's always, you know how it goes. What about the Leafs?
Which is, again, just circling back to the original point, I hope banter finds a way to stick around.
Same. I wish the best of Tom, Mike, Joe, and everybody else involved in banter. And even all around SB Nation. I saw Steph got laid off Broad Street Bullies, and she like built that thing from the ground up. And that sucks. So I feel for them. But if they can go independent, they should. It's not easy. It's not. But also, you can help people out. It's the way it goes. All right, I think that's it. Let's transition. We're going to go watch the game. We're going to watch those third-string goalies, Florida Panthers, play the New York Rangers with Igor Shesterkin in net and see the result. And then immediately after the game, we're going to come back in. It'll be seconds for you. We'll have our friend Fitz here. We'll talk about Keandre Miller. We'll talk about the GM email chain, which will definitely be like an eight-minute conversation at least, because I have so many questions, and much more. So we'll be back. Let's just go to a quick word from our sponsor, Transition. Four NFL teams, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? You can feel the conference championship thrills with stepped-up same-game parlays. Woo! Take your shot at even bigger NFL payouts and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Probably parlay me personally. I like the Bengals and I like the Eagles. I think that's a Super Bowl matchup. Just me. Listen, I'm a hockey guy, but that's what I would do. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code BLUESHIRTS. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championship games and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code BLUESHIRTS. That's code BLUESHIRTS, like the Rangers, you get it. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Back to the show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back post-game with Daniel and I, and also our dear guest and one of the kind, Fitz. Thank you so much for joining us. Probably your 19th episode appearance.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on. What a fun one, huh? Much better than recently.
I mean, much, much better. I mean, where do we start? Where do you want to go from here? Because, oh my God, the Igor goal, we're talking inches. Feet? We're talking feet. It's probably feet. But it reminds me so much of the Ottawa one last year where it's like, he only gets so many shots at this, and are we ever going to see it? I really want to see it so goddamn bad. He's got it in him. I know he wants to take it more. And I know the coaching staff definitely told him to stop playing the puck as much as he did last year. This year, but boy, fun game where the Rangers just got outshot. I thought got outplayed at some points, and didn't matter because goals are what count.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they played like shit in the second period. It was like classic Rangers there, where they just every single time they always have to let up for like a little bit just to make things interesting. But yeah, they scored some, you know, some greasy goals tonight.
Jimmy V. Greasy. Thanks, Sam.
That was so bad. Come on. Don't get me started with the Sam stuff. I got in a lot of trouble.
You can't talk about Sam. You're banned. It's ratio. Bro, like, you'll get ratioed immediately.
I got absolutely hooked on that one.
Oh my God. Were like, I don't know. I think Sam's struggling as he mispronounced like a million names. And everyone was like, how dare you?
Bro, he was calling Ben Harper the wrong name for like 3.5 shifts one game. I was like, come on, dude. He was in the building. Whatever. Stop. I'm stopping before I get yelled at. but yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I kind of really liked the new line combinations tonight. I don't know about you guys. I don't know. Like,
I spent the first half of this podcast complaining and bitching about Trocheck and how I think the contract is a little wacky, and he's a good player but a bad fit, but he does seem like he fits on that line.
But like, that's what he should be. You know what I mean? Like, that pain in the ass, shutdown type center. And like, VC's been really good defensively this year, and Gaudreau is Gaudreau. You know what I mean? Like, they trust him. He's going to get the rope, and like, he's a good player. Like, he's a solid player. So like, I don't hate it. And then, you know, I didn't look at any of this till just now, but like the time on ice stuff, since I feel like we're back to the end of Quinn days where we're always checking this again. But like all the kids, like Hedl played 16 and a half minutes. Kako played over 15. Lafreniere played over 15 because there's only one power play. You know what I mean? Like, they only had one power play in the game. So to me, like, I think we're slowly kind of seeing this switch already happen in terms of like the responsibility going to the kids. I think there's sometimes where it's maddening, like in the case of the power play, the first power play unit, and like not having Hedl on there instead of Trocheck. But like, you know, I trust that the power play is going to figure it out. I don't know. I really like the new line combinations. That's my point. I like putting the best three guys together with Kreider, Mika, and Panarin. Like, I thought they should have done that in game 6 against the Lightning last year when things were looking bleak. Like, load up your top line, give the kids the, like, offensive, you know, have them be, like, your scoring type line, and then you have, like, a sick checking line. So, like, I'm completely fine with what I saw tonight.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I mean, we just talked on the first half of the pod how Vincent Trocheck is a great third-line setter for a championship team, and that hinges on the kid line playing like they did in the playoffs. But if they can do that and they can handle that second-line responsibility – all of a sudden, you have a great first line. You have that defensively responsible, really, really hard to play against third line. And if the kids, you know, pull their weight, then all of a sudden you're looking pretty good in the top nine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what it really boils down to. Like, listen, Lafreniere looked really – I think he played probably his best game in, what, like 2 months tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Not even close, dude. It's like, I can't even name the second best game. You know, it's not even close.
You know when I knew he was into it is when, what's his face, that Lomberg guy or whatever, went up to, like, he gave him a whack, like, a little after the play, you know, Laff had already got rid of the puck, and then like he went at Lindgren later in the shift too, and Laff went like right up to him, gave him like a cross check. I don't know, that like he's more engaged when he's like involved and shit stirring, you know what I mean? Like in the playoffs last year, that's what made him so much fun to watch, was the fact that he was like throwing his weight around. He was
a little rat, yeah, to be honest.
He was like being a like a he's obviously, I don't know if he's as talented as him, but like a Brad Marchand type of player, you know what I
he
mean?
Should be as talented, yes, as Brad Marchand. He's not
the number one overall pick, but that's again another story for another day.
And Gallant said it, I think it was earlier today, it could have been yesterday, but Gallant noted how each of these guys, when they're not playing together, they all get much more passive, but when all of a sudden they're playing together, there's no Mika to defer to, there's no Kreider to defer to, so they know they're just kind of gonna play with each other. And you know, it was great to see that Vince tweeted out how when they all saw that they had the same color practice jerseys on starting Saturday, they kind of laughed, and Hedl said to the other two, like, oh, you thought you could get away from me, but I keep pulling you back in. And they have this chemistry, and until I see three strong lines that don't have them together, I want to keep this kid line together.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Like, I think I said that honestly, like, to Ryan last year too, about like the kid, and I'm not the first one to say it either. Like, a lot of other people have said it too. Like, I know Adam, et cetera, had was like one of the first people I saw to say it about them all deferring too much when they play with the vets. And like, when they're together, they just play. And the thing that is great when they're together too, like, they complement each other very well. They're like an unbelievable forecheck line. Like, they just spend shifts and shifts in the offensive zone. Like, sometimes it doesn't lead to shots or high quality chances, but at least they're just like wearing the D down. They're like, they're keeping the puck in the zone. Like, you know, Hedl's the shooter. Kako's like the grinder in the boards down low, and Lafreniere can make passes. Like, they really,
if Lafreniere
well.
can create in the way I think he can, like, we're cooking.
Yeah.
They like, you saw the Kako quote, like, it always go, I'm always coming back. Like, I keep trying to leave you guys and I just can't. And I do think that top line, I really didn't want to separate Mika, Kreider, and Kako, but when Kako's with Hedl and Lafreniere, it's just a totally different situation. They play in another level, and credit to Gallant, like you said, Dan, he's right. Like, they are not as selfish as they should be when they play with those other players, and you can see it when they play together. It's a totally different, they're totally different styles. Kako looks like he belongs rather than like he does defer to Mika Zibanejad, which, by the way, and as you mentioned to me through text, like, not the worst thing in the world. Mika Zibanejad seems like a pretty good player.
Yeah, if you're going to give up the puck, like, the way Gallant phrased it was they were doing something bad by giving it to Mika Zibanejad to shoot, which I know what the message is. You want your players to be assertive, but like, hey, he's still Mika. And we saw that on the power play when we finally ripped one home. Great cross-ice pass from Panarin. He had a couple of them tonight, but the one on the power play stood out just because we had just talked about how the Rangers have to do something to get Mika opportunities that even when the other team is playing to defend that shot.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know. This team is so freaking weird, man. Like, honestly, like, what if you were to look at their record today versus what their record was last year at this same time, is it that much different? Is it like,
I legitimately don't know, which is the worst part. I think it's probably worse last year. No, it can't be. They were in first in the Metro, but the Metro is so good. I don't understand. Like, I know they were first in the Metro in the beginning of the last year. I remember tweeting that out. But right now they're at 59 points. Like, I think that might have been it last year, because somehow the Hurricanes have only lost 9 games.
Yeah, they've been hot.
Despite
on,
only having
been
5
on tear
games
lately.
They're fucking ridiculous. And the Devils are at 64. And the Bruins are at 78. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, that's going to be my worst take of all time before the season, saying this was the year they would finally fall off. And like being the,
yeah,
being the,
Tom Brady's coming back next year too,
God,
dude. So
in
like, whatever.
In the Bedard sweepstakes, I was like genuinely thinking they'd be in the sweepstakes. Like, I cannot believe what they're doing. But I don't know. With the Rangers this year, like, don't you guys just feel like the expectations have really just like notched, like taken everything up a notch? Like, last year was just fun. It was just vibes. And this year,
oh yeah, there's no vibes this year.
None.
It's like
none at all. Like, they're coming they're, back.
Like, everything that happened last year was a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the vibes like come and go. You know what I mean? Like, they were there for sure when they had that comeback against the Wild, the game you guys were at, I believe.
Dallas.
Wild. Jesus Christ.
Same thing.
Basically, yeah. The West Coast hockey doesn't matter. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But yeah, like the expectations for this season, like the vibes come and go. Like, I don't know. I am a big believer that stretch in November when they just played just horrific.
So bad.
Like they thought like we just need to get to the playoffs, right? But at the same time, it's like that's not how this shit works, right? Like you can't just walk.
Not in the Metro. If you're in the West,
exactly. Not in the Metro. Like you can't walk.
If you were in the West, you could be the Avalanche. You're sitting in fifth place. You don't give a fart.
Yeah.
Like you're ready to roll. Like as soon as the playoffs come back, you're skating out Nathan MacKinnon, and you're totally fine. It's like great, awesome. See you there.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I don't know. It's just been a. They clearly thought they could like flip the switch, and like you don't get that benefit of the doubt when you're a team that's never won anything. You know what I mean? Like you don't get to say like, hey, we're saving it for the stretch run. You know what I mean? That's not how it works. And it's like
the Lightning are saving it right now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're still playing hard, but they're saving it.
You know when like to go to that next gear. You know what I mean? Like so. I think the Rangers found that out the hard way. I mean, they were embarrassing to watch for a month. It was unwatchable. They were so bad. I mean, people who think Gallant's seat wasn't hot at that point weren't paying attention. I mean, like once like Friedman,
he was like two games for being fired.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
maybe
without
one.
Without that, like, once Friedman and those guys are talking about like, hey, you know, ownership might be a little impatient here. That's like 10 alarms going off. You know.
Bro, Vancouver, they told it Bruce Boudreau was getting fired like 3 weeks in advance. they know when shit's up. Like, please do not think they don't know. Like, we could get to it right now because it's just one of the funniest stories of all time. But today we got confirmation about the GM email thread, which is like one of the silliest and funniest things ever. Like, there's legitimately an email thread where the GMs can email each other and talk about. Yeah. What? What?
League.
Dude, send a text message. What are we doing?
I have more security for the fantasy football trades I put through. Are you kidding me? Than an email?
That's true.
It's definitely Gmail. They're all just like L.
You're telling me that like one of them doesn't have like a Yahoo or an AOL account? You think Lou doesn't have an AOL account?
Lou is using the same computer George R. R. Martin uses to write A Song of Ice and Fire books. that like 1972 word processor. That's what Lou is using. Honestly, it makes sense,
though.
It makes sense when you think about it, why he's always late to the party. It's because he has no idea how to use technology.
Yeah, he goes to their houses at midnight. Like he's Rex Ryan getting Bart Scott in 2016. Like, I don't understand.
Some sports, I believe, there's like, listen, I'm not naive. Like, these other sports do the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? With like, you know, like all these GMs talk to each other, and it's like
Brunson's dad will coach for the Knicks,
yeah, exactly.
And he shockingly
like,
went there.
NBA tampering is laughable sometimes. What goes on, but like the fact that it's confirmed, it was so nonchalantly confirmed in that I don't even listen to that podcast. What was it? It was 32 Thoughts, I think.
32 Thoughts.
For
yeah.
For some reason, I just turned it on because I wanted to hear what they were saying about the Boudreau stuff, and they just started talking about. They just started talking about this email chain thing, and I was like, hold on, this can't be real. And I listened to it like two or three times, and it was real.
No, buddy, it's super real. I can't even believe it. Let's get to your boy Keandre Miller, because I think it's time. Boy, can we afford him? I guess that's my first question.
I mean, they better be able to afford him. Are you kidding? You don't let people like him leave. You know what I mean?
You can't.
Him and Hedl are like the two biggest priorities for the team right now, in my opinion. Right? Like, I'm sure you guys agree.
This is the greatest conversation because it's like rank your trade value among the kids. And boy,
I mean,
like Lafreniere, I still think is like fourth.
He's like a comfortable fourth.
It's sickening because it's. I can make the case for Kako, but I think you're right, where it's like Hedl Miller is tier one, then Kako Lafreniere, but it's like Kako is tier two by himself.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is with Kako is like if he's not scoring, I'm not worried about him anymore. You know what I mean? It's like like if the points aren't coming out, I know the rest of his game isn't going to fall off.
He's a certified top six right winger.
Correct. And like the same goes for Hedl, to be honest. Like at this point, I think Hedl might be like my third favorite player on the team. I just have like so much respect for what he's done since the playoffs started last year. And he's another one where it's like, even if he's not scoring, he's probably like their best forechecking forward right now. Like, he's just always making shit happen. And then, yeah.
He's a completely different player.
Completely different player. I mean, listen, I know everyone likes to give Gallant a lot of crap, and rightfully so a lot of times, but I give him a lot of credit for that whole play like Mika thing with Hedl last year. Because, like, I genuinely think that might have saved Hedl's career.
Yeah, the only thing that Hedl doesn't do that Mika does is have that nasty, like, shot. But he's much more creative and much faster than Mika Zibanejad. He's a better skater. He's a better forechecker. But Mika's a more intelligent player. Like, you'll see it when Mika does I think Mika's defensive game has been super underrated, and even by the analytics, where he's just, like, he does the Adam Fox style of defense, where he's in the right position in the right place at the right time to have a takeaway or at a key moment. And he kind of saves himself as well for the moments that matter the most. Whereas Filipino's like, I'm still super young and I'm fast as shit, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, to me, he'll just shoots now all the time, which I love. Like, he used to never really shoot. I don't know. He's just a completely different player. I love him. I think they need to keep him. I was never even that big of a fan of him before, like, the last few months. I just have become a real big fan of his game. But I don't know. With Keandre, they better be able to afford to keep him, man. Like, you can't let that guy leave. He's the pillar. It's him and Fox. It should be him and Fox for the rest of the decade back there.
It's him and Fox for the next 15 years,
before
which sounds
you let
fucking
Keandre
awesome.
Or Hedl leave. You start attaching assets to the Barkley Goodrows of the world to clear up that space.
Yeah. You're like the Vince McMahon gif when he's in the hospital with the ankle and Stone Cold just starts beating him up. Like, that's going to be Chris Drury with Goodrow at the end of the year. Like, long-term IR.
They're going to do whatever happened to Kevin Kline. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Exactly.
We don't talk about it. I'm just saying, it's crazy we don't talk about it. He mysteriously retired and then played overseas. It's very weird. But yeah, you have to imagine, like, I just don't know how they make the cap work. I've seen some of it, but it's like everyone except the bare minimum. You think, like, everyone's gonna be cool with that? I just don't.
Yeah, like the one thing I saw, I can't remember who, but I saw someone mention, like, if you're Keandre, right? Like, you know, you're sought after, right? Like, your play has, from pretty much February, like, this around this time last year until now, your stock has only risen through the roof. So, like, I saw some people saying, like, hey, maybe he takes, like, a 2-3 year bridge deal and then, like, waits to get back into it, you know, eat up a couple RFA years, and then he gets the cash in again when the cap really goes up, which, you know, personally, if I was, like, a player or an agent, that's what I would be.
I would do
that's what I would be doing all the time right now, like, taking those, you know, like, in baseball, those short-term high AAV contracts and then cashing in a second time, or even, like, NBA players do a lot now. But, like, if I were the Rangers, I'd be, like, 7-8 years. What do you want? Like, what do you want for those years? Like, we got to get you in. You can't let guys like that become a cap casualty.
No, you have to offer him, like, hey, 8 years, $5.5 million, you down? And, like, if he accepts, it's, like, an absolute bargain. I would never let him accept if I was his agent.
Well, I would slap shit right out of his hands. I'd be like, you're not signing.
Like, you take 2.5 now, we're getting 8 or 9
would you
cap ceiling.
Seven by seven right now? Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I think we.
No question.
It's only going to go up. It's only
going
to go up.
Yeah.
Price is
going
up.
Especially once, once the cap jumps in and we think it's going to be 2 years, you know, the percentage of the cap you take up is going to go down with the same number. So if I'm a GM, I'm trying to get my young talent locked up for a long time in the next year and hoping that the cap does rise. Now, as Fitz said, if you're a player who already knows you have a bright future, you know, you didn't have a fluky year, I'm probably taking a bridge deal right now for 2 years, and then I'm ready to go as soon as the cap, like, jumps for the first time in how long? Yeah.
Half a decade, because this league is pathetic sometimes.
COVID, I mean, you can't take away the, like, gates from everyone and then say,
true,
hey, what the hell is this league's problem? Like, their main source of revenue was cut, and, you know, not to defend Bettman and the league too much, but that was just an unknown that you couldn't have planned for league or team wise with the cap. And I think if not for keeping the cap flat, you couldn't have functioned, because otherwise you would have had the cap would have went down right after COVID, which, and teams wouldn't have been able to field teams because of the contracts already on the books. Yeah.
Dan, we get it. You love billionaires, bro. Like
Dan Draper. Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable. You love the you make a great point, and yeah. and financially that makes sense, but you also love billionaires podcaster. Is what I want to say.
Yeah.
I will say one
I love Vox.
One thing. Brian, why do you always do this when I come on these shows? God damn it.
No, I said nice things about SB Nation and everything before the break, so don't trust me on that one.
All right. One thing I'm going to ask you guys, like Dan's point about the cap jump just has me thinking already, like what do you think Fox would go for if you had to do it again in like two, three years? What would he get now?
The answer is legitimately $12 million. I say that and it sounds stupid, but the answer is seriously $12 million.
It might be higher, yeah. Depending on how much of a jump, and you're only looking at UFA years. And the funny thing was we joked on the first half that Fox's in the player cards by Shane and Dom, Fox's project or what he should be receiving is the league maximum. And then I saw the first goal and I was like, that's not high enough.
It's not. He does it all the time too, the overtime winner. It's like, how do you do that backhand? But let's get really sicko shit. Hey, Jack Hughes doesn't sign last year. What does he sign for?
The Devil's
today?
Got a steal.
Oh boy, he's getting at least 10, right?
Yes. He would get 10.5. Easy. Like today, in this cap, how could you not give it to him? It's like, wow, $8 million. Great job by your agent.
I'll tell you what. But there's going to be some really, really bitter ex players in a couple of years when they start seeing some of the money that these guys are going to start getting. Like if the cap truly jumps the way it should after this whole COVID, suppression of it basically for 2, 3, or 4 years. It's been a while now, Jesus. But yeah, like.
I have a fun game for you, Fitz. Ready? We'll do this. What's Sidney Crosby's career earnings?
Dude, I've looked at this before. You want to know why? Because after McKinnon signed the extension, I just immediately was like, what am I going to say now when I talk about NHL salaries compared to other sports? I was like, I lost my bread and butter. And I looked at Crosby.
You can still talk about
and
it.
And I looked at Crosby. It's disgusting what that guy's been getting paid for. It's been like 10 years now.
The answer, he's been playing for since he was 18. I believe he's 34 now. He's made $150 million.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
$150.
You should have triple that.
He's been the best player of the league for 14 fucking years.
He kept taking the 8.7. At first, I think the first time he signed it was like, oh yeah, that's about what he should make. And then it was like, I'm superstitious and have enough money. This is like a, kind of like a Brady thing where he's like, I'm going to be okay. Why don't we give some of the money to reinforcements so my team can be. I mean, he's not even the highest paid player on his own team for a lot of his career.
Dude, McDavid took a discount too. The team was like, hey man, we can't give you the full, even though you're the best player on the planet, because we got to put a team around you. And then they didn't put a team around you.
NHL players are so dumb sometimes with this stuff. It's like, why do you believe these guys when they say this stuff? Because their actions are right there. Like Mike Smith was their goalie for like 3 years after he signed that contract. He was the goalie when he signed it, I'm pretty sure. It's like, what are you thinking? That's going to get better? That these guys are going to like live up to their promise? What was the contract they signed? The James Neal one? The Lucic one? I mean, it's just...
Oh, my God. The Lucic one is unbelievable.
Oh, my God. It's just embarrassing. These guys just need to start... I mean, it'll never happen just because the way the sport is and the way you grow up in it. But I don't know. One of these days, I'm hopeful that like this new generation of players, like a Jack Hughes, like a Zegras, they just don't care about that stuff anymore. You know what I mean? Like they're just like, listen, if you're not gonna put a winner around, like I'm out of here. Like I'm not taking.
I think you kind of saw that with Eichel, right? Like other than the medical stuff.
Yeah.
And now he's in. And now he's in Vegas, and of course now
all right, but
Buffalo's
that
pretty
medical
good.
Stuff was kind of a big so, thing. Let's not just gloss over it as someone was like, hey, I'm worried about my long-term health. Can I please have surgery? And they were like, no, you can't.
No, yeah.
But also at the same time, it goes hand-in-hand, like them taking more control over their own careers. You know what I mean? Instead of like always doing like what's best for the team, what the team says, what the doc, you know what I mean? Like having a little bit of like, hey, like I know my body, I know who I am, like I know what's best for me. You know, like it just like that mindset in general just because like that way you don't get a guy like Connor McDavid, who is literally the best hockey player we will ever see in our lives, wasting away in Edmonton on a team that might not make the playoffs in one of the worst divisions the league has had.
Do you think the player empowerment of the NHL is just lagging behind like the NBA, or does it never come because that's just not the culture?
I don't think it ever comes to the extent it's come in the NBA, just because like, while definitely the culture has something to do with it, but also the fact that there's just so many more guys on a hockey team, right? Like, so, you know, like just Jay Crowder is like the first guy who comes off to my mind who like hasn't played a game this season because he's waiting for
to get traded.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like that wouldn't work for, I don't know.
Barclay, yeah, the NHL equivalent of Jay Crowder.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, also in the NBA, you like can take games off. You're like, I'm actually feeling pretty worn down for the next stretch. I'm going to take a game off. You take a game off in hockey, you're like, you're blackmailed. Like, that's it. Like, you're out of
yeah,
it.
You can't blackmailed take a the game wrong off. Term, you have but to, you're, you have to go out there with
you're just
your
like,
hurt hand.
Look down upon.
People.
You're
that's
not allowed.
What we've learned this year.
Yeah, Jacob Trouba. Yeah, Jacob Trouba. Oh, man. The Trouba stuff kills me.
What are we
doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what's the point here?
What's the point? Yeah, I think what you said earlier, and I kind of go back to it with the good vibes from last year and this team. This team is a wave comparatively to last year, where it's like the ups and downs are really high. It's like, hey, but even actually, that's kind of a lie because even during the streak when they were, 13-2-2, it's kind of like, I don't know, is this team okay? Like, I don't know. Is this team good? They're only third in the Metro, the best division in sports. When I say in sports, I'm like, is that true? And I think it might be. Maybe the NFC East in football. But outside of that, it's like, this is the most competitive division in all sports and still, and they're winning. They're in third place. They have good records. They have gritty wins. They look like shit a lot of the time to still pull it out. And I still ask myself, I'm not sure if this team has
it,
enough.
I
just don't know if it does.
Its own success in the last playoffs, because if they get knocked out in game 7 against Pittsburgh, we don't come in with nearly the expectations, right? It's just we have to be improving, and we hope that the kids are improving while our stars don't decline too bad. But let's do another incremental step. Let's win another, you know, one or maybe two playoff series. And we went, you know, we were up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So now people are like, well, you got to make the cup this year because, as we alluded to in the first half of the pod, we're about to hit a pretty big financial block where you're not going to be able to add to this team. So it's looking like this is the year, because for a while we've been saying, okay, it doesn't matter how long you sign Goodrow for. It doesn't matter how long you sign Trocheck for, because you're only looking at a very small window. And I got to tell you, that window's closing really fast. And just imagine where this team is without that 13-2-2 stretch run, because heads would be rolling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, you know, I have to do it, Ryan. I'm going to get it in now. It really remind me of what's happening with the Warriors.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll do the Mets next, just to fill in for Greg. So you go ahead.
Right, I had to do it. Everyone can jerk at home. but like the whole two timeline plan. You know what I mean? Like, it's not an apples to apples comparison, because like the Warriors had three rings to like bank their success off of with their veterans, but like you just see it now, like the how hard it is to like toggle that line between the two, whether it's the Rangers with like, you know, the whole Hedl Trocheck situation, or even, you know, Lafreniere having two left wingers blocking him. Like, you know, young guys who go top like in the lottery in the draft are usually going to shit teams, and it's okay that they play through their mistakes and that they stink it up, because that's what's expected of them. You're not expected to win. You know, the model has always been like what the Penguins did, what the Blackhawks did, what the Kings did, where you draft your guys high, you take your lumps for a couple of years, you make a noise in a playoff run, then you start adding veteran pieces while, you know, the young guys are still pretty cheap. And like even with the Warriors this year, it's the same thing where like, you know, the young guys aren't ready to take those roles yet. And like even with the Rangers, there were it's hard to ask young guys to play in a, you know, Laugh is the biggest one that comes to mind. It's hard to ask a young guy who his entire life has been the guy on every team he's played on to basically play a third line checking role a lot of the time, right? Or like in the Warriors case, you know, asking Moses Moody to be a 3-and-D like wing who can guard Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard and all these different guys. Like, it's hard to ask that of young guys. So, you know, I just think like you said, Dan, like I think people don't. I said this last year when they lost in the playoffs that like I'm very optimistic about the future of the team due to the youth, but I don't want last year to be like a missed opportunity that you harp back on for years. And like, I don't think enough people kind of understood at the time what that meant. And like the Trocheck signing only adds to it. Like all these things add to it. So, you know, it's a really interesting time for the team. And like the rest of the season is going to be, I mean, pretty much till the trade deadline is going to be nonstop speculation about what they're going to do, who they're going to add, what they're looking to do, the long-term plan even.
This is the final swing, man. It really is. It's like the last trade deadline they can add multiple pieces. Won't be able to do it next year. I talked about that earlier as well. And the two timeline thing is totally true. It's why they added Trocheck. It's they know they have 3-year window. Like, when do you think Panarin and Mika really fall off? Like the decline has happened a little bit with Panarin, but it's
started for him. Yeah, as much
I think
as
he might be 2 years away evident. From saying, "Wow, this albatross of a contract that Panarin has is really killing us. I wish we could move it."
Well, how many? What does he have? 3 after this year?
2026 is when he's up because that's the same year Connor McDavid is a free agent.
This is his 4th year with the team already? Wow. Honest to God, the fact that he hasn't even fallen off as, like, he's still a point per game player. Yeah.
He's 3 points.
Yeah. it's just, he's so good that like, him and Fox, like, I feel like Fox is a little different because, like, this year I feel like as a fan base, we're really, like, yo, this fucking guy should be in the MVP conversations. Get out of here with Justin Norris.
If Fox retired today, is his name in the rafters? Because I think 100%. It is. Yeah, it's like right away. One of the best defensemen I've ever seen play, if not the best.
And we're like numb to him and Panarin's greatness a lot of times. And like, you know, I remember Josh Kalfin saying this to me way back when Panarin first signed that contract. And a lot of people were like, you know, all the people I mercilessly retweet all the time under like the insider's tweets from when he signed was that like he thought he was going to age like Pavel Datsyuk as a player. You know what I mean? Because his game was never predicated on being like a freak athlete or like super speed. Like he just has sick hands. He's a good skater and he knows his brain just works different. You know, same thing with Fox. Like Fox could lose what little skating ability he even has. Tomorrow.
That was Ryan's argument for the McCarr versus Fox debate.
No.
And yeah.
Yes, I heard that. That's right. I forgot about that.
I pitched it to Fitz last year on a car drive. I was like, Fitz, hear me out. Here's why I want Fox over McCarr for 20 years.
He's not wrong though. It's like Cam Newton, you know what I mean? When his athleticism went, it was over. But like, I don't know. Brian Tannehill is still like chugging along over here or something like that. You know,
Brian Tannehill. Jesus. I'm just saying, yeah, so he was mediocre the whole time,
sorry,
and that's why he stayed that way. He was like,
you
okay, cool.
Very, very obvious Tom Brady. Like that was just really just sitting the guy that can't move that is still playing. Well, other than this year, playing at the high level.
Fuck Tom Brady forever though.
All right, man. Any other topics you want to cover before we let you get out of here?
Oh, I think I covered everything.
I just want Igor to score a goal.
It's been
so boy.
Fun time this year.
If he scored the headline, score the goal, Igor. Been, oh my God. Igor scores goal, and then somewhere at the bottom of the page would be like, Rangers also played a game.
That you want to talk about
guys,
the vibes? The vibes would have been back.
The Panthers pulled the goalie at 9 minutes.
That's, scored, right?
I respect the shit out of it. Yes.
Yeah, and Ryan,
it was good. The Rangers couldn't score for 6 minutes.
I was disappointed when Hedo scored just because I knew that means Igor didn't get another chance. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, oh, the fun's over. I guess
too.
We had. Yeah. He had the wry smile. Kako did the work. Didn't matter. Whatever. We'll be back next week, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Actually, we'll be back at BSBOT later this week if you're a Patreon member, of course. Thank you so much to Fitz. Thank you so much to Dan. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Ryan Meek. Follow Fitz,
follow
even though you didn't want
life,
to on Twitter as well. And you can't follow Dan. So we'll talk to you guys. Okay. We'll be back then. Love you guys. Bye. Okay, it's the end of the show. So you know what I do here, I think, and read some names. It'll be short this week. Usually sometimes I do a monologue or some things, but It's just pretty late on my end, so we're going to read some names and thank NHL Insiders Club. Thank you for keeping this show going, and I really appreciate it. So here we go. Adam Cassie, Adam Cohen, Adam Cotrullo, Adam Linder, Adam Keech, Alex Flynn, Alex Gartner, Andrew Rauner. Man, I'm fucking struggling tonight. Anthony Tarragotta, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bill Ratzel, Brandon Lackos, Brandon Magnum, Brett Granger, Brett McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mellon, Chris Frinelli, Chris Harrow, CJ Selwick, and Connery Pedemage, Daniel Dezan, David Siegel, Dennis Dice, Darian Erickstad, Garrett Reynolds, Kip Gardner, Cup, Gretzky Garrett, Fly, Harrison Haskell, Hippie Pity 9, Ian Rodriguez, Ian Usher, James Masker, Jerry Marquez, JD, John, Jimmy Mack, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Josh Kissabom, Christopher Florida, Christopher Berg, Christopher Kyle Franklin, Lazic Granowski, second page, Lieber's Kayak, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Buckle, Mike Man. Mancuso? Man, I messed that one up. Tell me how it is. Nate Hanafy, Neil Grover, Nicholas DiNicola, Pascal Perrier, Paul J. Smith, Pavel Kodarev, Paul PJ Cisparo, Pro World Series Gamer, Randy Tesser, Ryan still hasn't watched Miracle, it's very true, Sigbo Box, Weingart, Thomas Walsh, Tommy Sinclair, Tom Rich Jr., the legend himself, Tommy O'Neill, Tommy from Manhattan, Upstate Vinny, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston the Golden Retriever. Thank you so much to Dan. Thank you so much to Fitz. We'll be back with BSB OT and more. Sorry for a short little bit extra expo here, but you get it. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.